Welcome to another episode of Is This for Kids? I am Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby.
And I hope you enjoy my hat swaps.
Your hat swaps? The way you wear a different hat every week?
Yeah.
How many hats do you own? Is it like 50,000?
It's not 50,000. My wife made me get rid of maybe 20 recently. Here's the thing. I do full-time content creation, and people from the community send me hats.
Yeah.
Both of my favorite Detroit sports teams, and also their teams. So I end up having tons of hats, and the ones that are nice, I keep, and the ones that are used, I throw away.
They've sent me used hats.
Never used from them, but they'll find a hat they think is funny on eBay that's used and send it as a joke. So my internet was having issues for a couple months, and they sent me an AT&T fibered, really dirty, gross hat that clearly was worn by someone who had a job driving all the time.
Gross.
Yeah. So I probably have 60 or 70 hats.
Okay. You ever see those Instagram reels where people are next time my husband tells me I don't need another purse, and they come out with all of their husband's hats on their heads?
Yeah.
And they're what? Who doesn't need another what?
Yeah. It's a relatively cheap hobby, though. You know what I mean?
Sure. I don't know. How much does a hat cost?
It's more expensive now. Between $25 and $40, depending.
Lion's hat.
I just told you.
$45.
Yeah, $45 and...
Well, I just Googled it. $30.
Yeah, $30 to $45, depending. A lot of the new era is so expensive.
I like this one right here, this women's 47 blue Detroit Lions hat. It just says DET on the front.
We're both Lions fans. Let's go. You should, I just brought that up, though, because I wear the same shirts all the time.
Every day, you're like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, and I change shorts and pants.
I just got this
and
new
shoes.
Shirt. I just got it. It has a little Aperol Spritz on it. It's my summer shirt.
Gosh. Aperol Spritz, excited. Disgusting, and not for kids.
Not for kids.
But you know what is for kids?
What?
The movie Swapped. Spoiler.
Oh yeah, you're telling them the information.
Just kidding. It might not be.
To the end. There's another movie.
So Swapped. I don't know if those watching have heard of it yet.
Yeah, I think I brought it to your attention for the first time, right?
You did. Can I say, does Netflix do... I don't think they do a good job of marketing, to be honest.
I think that Netflix's whole business model is that, it's just stuff that feeds into itself. So they're algorithm-based. Yeah, because unless you put an option in there to not continue playing, it just plays the next thing that it thinks you will like. So they've literally published articles about how Netflix really doesn't necessarily care. However, the last week we talked about Remarkably Bright Creatures, and that was very, very good. And Swapped is one of their new offerings for kids. I was come on.
Yeah, it makes sense. So our kids don't sit and scroll and watch a lot of shows. It's you have TV time, they know the show they want to watch. Mm-hmm. Jody and I, same thing. So we know what shows we want to watch and what it's on. So we're not looking for new stuff usually on the app,
yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of people do. And I'm sure it would have popped up as you should watch this movie. Cause it just came out, animated film, made for kids, done by Netflix. Mm-hmm. Why don't you do the honors?
Okay. The plot summary?
Yeah, but you have to make sure you get the animals right because they're not real animals, which I thought was a really cool part of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't call them a squirrel or a gopher.
Shoot.
Or a rat.
All right, so the story revolves around Ollie, who is a puku, if I remember correctly, a little rodent-looking creature. None of the animals in these are real animals. Everything is a fictional animal. So there's nothing that you can even tie to reality, but it's a rodent-looking thing. And then his... now friend Ivy, what kind of bird is that?
It's a bird, but I forget the name of the bird, but it's a magical bird without powers,
right? And they basically you hear at the very beginning that Ollie had once offered their food source to this little bird when he was a little tiny puku. He gave these seed pods to this bird, and as a result that bird's whole flock took over their space and drove them underground so that they weren't able to live easily on the surface because they were scared of these birds. And so then now they're all starving and they're living on this little tiny island. And while he's out doing things, he's always been a curious little guy. He falls into what they call a pod, which looks like a spider, magic spider web,
yeah.
Basically. And he swaps bodies with the bird, or he basically gets a bird body, which is the theme of the thing. So now he looks like a bird, and Ivy the bird comes up to him and is like, oh, hey, you're a bird, calm down, blah, blah, blah. And then she eventually gets swapped into a puku body. And it's basically a buddy comedy where you have to, walk a mile in somebody's shoes, somebody that you thought would be your enemy, and figure out what, you know, what's going, why do we have this animosity between us? And it comes out that they all had this, it's sort of like a god figure in their world, the Zo, D-Z-O, that are like big trees that are kind of oxes. Yeah. If you're like familiar
mammoth with, ox trees.
Yeah. In Tibetan mythology, it's actually a cow, like hybrid animal, that's supposed to be a symbol of patience, peace, and cooperation. So that's probably why those are the animals in question. And they had created those little pods throughout there, and they're trying to figure out why. And it turns out it was because there was this fire wolf that was out to get everybody and had destroyed the zoo. Yada yada. They're all realizing that they could work together, and there's just one overarching bad guy, this fire wolf, if only they could defeat him.
Yeah. We are not a film critic podcast.
No.
We are a parenting podcast for media.
But sometimes we become film critics.
But I have to say this. So what movies, I'm trying to remember what movies, maybe Ice Age. Remember how Ice Age like started doing those little shorts before their movies with
with the squirrel thing.
Yeah, the squirrel thing.
Yeah.
And he always had like an acorn or something. Mm-hmm. He was trying to get it. And those were like, there was like won awards.
Yeah, they were fun.
And people loved him. They started making like own shorts like that. Was it Pixar who did that?
Yeah. No, that was DreamWorks, I think.
Really?
I think DreamWorks made Ice Age. No, 20th Century Fox.
Oh, wow. Either way, very cool stuff. And then I think Minions does it. Like a bunch of these animating do these things. And there was a scene, they didn't do that in this movie, but there is a scene in the first 10 minutes of this movie that is one of the most well-done cartoon scenes I've ever seen.
The scuba diving?
Yes.
Yes.
That whole scene, there's not a word spoken in like 5 minutes in a kid's movie. And
fun to watch.
It was awesome. My kids loved it. They were like, this is cool. Like it stood out. I think this movie should win awards.
I really do. And like we had criticized, if you go back and look at our Moana 2 episode, like I was critical of the fact that they had worse animation quality in Moana 2. I feel like the animation here was better than Disney's, at least in Moana 2.
Yeah.
And it was very, it's not the same style at all as Wild Robot, but it was equally kind of breathtaking to me.
Yeah.
Like I felt like it was bright and beautiful, well done. Everything looked really cool. So it was high quality animation, this movie. And I read the reviews and a lot of people were like, oh, Netflix is trying to be Disney and they fell short. And I was like, I don't think they did.
No.
I think they hit this one out of the park.
Yeah, this is one of the best kids movies that I've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. They continue, like we were continuing to say this, that there's these great kids movies that are coming out.
Basically, we're only going to go see the movies that we think you're going to like from now on.
Yeah, well, it's fun to, I think the episodes
might be more. We'll find some bad movies. We should go watch some bad movies.
Yeah, we should go see Mortal Kombat.
That's rated R.
Or the new Meet the Fockers movie.
There is one.
It's coming out. Yeah. And the new Toy Story. We get to go see that, which is going to be really good. That's going to be one of our biggest episodes of all time, by the way.
New Toy Story.
Because it's about
iPads,
basically. Yeah, screens versus toys. And we're team toys at our house.
Absolutely toys.
But this movie, one of the best kids movies I've seen in a really long time. There's self-sacrifice in it. Forgiveness. Reconciliation. Working together, care for creation, right? It's awesome. It's really good. There's really nothing. I can't even think of one thing in it that I would have to warn parents about.
Nothing.
I Googled it.
The Firefox is a little scary, but
yeah, like, my 6-year-old was scared of the Firefox. She slept on our floor one night, but that was it.
Yeah,
one night. Not a big deal. There's a twist in this movie that we will not spoil. There is a twist in this movie. I don't know if I've ever seen a better twist in a kid's movie.
Yeah, I never saw it coming.
Yeah, it was very cool. And you just don't see that. And like they created this whole world. I don't want to over-speak here, but it felt like J.R.R. Tolkien with Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Like creating every creature was made up. They all resemble some type of animal that you know. But like the world was made up, where they live, all the animals, all the creatures. It was the food. It was super cool.
Yeah, the background mythology. One thing I was thinking while I was watching is like, is our EWTN audience going to be freaked out by the Zoo being sort of godlike creatures? And they aren't gods. They never use the word god to describe them. But they provide the food source that everybody's after. And so it's a little bit of that. And I was thinking to myself, Maybe people would be weirded out by that. But more to the point, it's very much like Paul at the Areopagus, right? Where you have this statue to an unnamed god. And it's like, this is just animals who don't know things giving God a name or giving, you know, having an understanding of a theology or of a creator. I don't think that that's bad. In fact, I think it's very good. I mean, Tolkien did the very same thing with the elves and whatnot in Lord of the Rings. So we're given a lot of Tolkien feedback on this one, which may be overblown. Like, somebody might be looking at me like, this is nowhere near Tolkien. Yeah. But like, if you were to scale Tolkien down to something appropriate for kids that's like below The Hobbit, this is it. Like, I just really think it is. Yeah. It was cool.
It was really well done. And I looked up reviews ahead of time, and people were saying that they liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. But I like had heard nothing about this movie. And yeah, it's awesome.
I saw a lot of critical reviews where people were, I think people want it to be political. Like, they want kids' movies to have politics messaging in it, like what we saw with Hoppers. Like, I feel like that's what critics are looking for in a kids movie. And I'm not against the idea that a kids movie should push a difficult idea, like working together with people or finding your differences. It's just, I don't think it needs to be set in politics. Like, we have had morality stories, fables, things like that for all of human history. And I feel like this falls cleanly in that fable mythology kind of story that can teach a value without having to teach a politics.
Yep. Things that we talk about all the time. There's strong male figures, there's strong female figures, yeah. There's strong dad figure, mom figure, grandmother.
Yes.
A huge emphasis on life when he carries the bird to up the mountain. Mm-hmm. They're like, look at all these little birds running around that like wouldn't be here if you didn't help. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Overall, highly recommend. What age would you recommend it for?
I would give this to any age. I don't think it's too scary for anybody.
Yeah, the firewolf is the only thing that's scary, and it's only scary for a couple minutes.
But it's not even like a jump scare when he comes out, so.
Yeah.
There you go. I liked it.
Go see Swapped.
Just for the normal things that we go over, which may have been obvious from what we're saying, but there is no drugs, no drinking, no violence. There's fire.
Bit of fighting.
Just like in Wild Robot, the main violence is by setting things on fire.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is a good way to like show scariness without it being bloody or gory. And I think that that's cool that people are using that trope nowadays. No sex, no drugs, no violence, no swears. Michael B. Jordan does a great voice acting there. Tracy Morgan, fantastic. Very excited. Anyway, great movie. Way to go, Netflix. Good job.
A lot of good reviews from us of movies lately, and maybe we'll turn the tides here with Sheep Detectives. We're not going to turn the tides.
No. Sheep Detectives was also fantastic.
I saw the preview for Sheep Detectives a couple months ago when we were watching something else.
Yeah, me too.
And so Hugh Jackman, which he's the hugest Ackman on the planet.
I can't think of a huger Ackman.
See what I did there?
I did.
I saw him reading, like living in a trailer, reading a story to sheep, and the sheep are talking, and you can tell they can hear each other, but not him.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, this is going to be the dumbest movie of all time.
Okay.
Like, so what is this movie going to be?
Let me give you the overview.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Sheep Detective starts out with George, who is the shepherd. He lives in a Airstream trailer on the side of a hill, presumably in England somewhere. And he has all of these sheep that he takes good care of, and he reads them what appear to be Agatha Christie novels every night. So they are familiar with that theme of mystery, right? And then suddenly he is found dead. And there's a mystery as to how it was that he was killed. And there are all of the regular, it's very much a whodunit. Like, there are all the regular suspects, and the sheep are familiar with all these tropes. So they're like, somebody's going to turn up that's never been here before. Somebody's going to seem like an obvious person, but they're not. And like, da 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 da, da. They go through the whole thing. And so you are working with the sheep to solve a mystery. I'm not going to give you any more than that.
And there's a bunch of characters in the town that become main characters.
Yeah, yeah. They're all the all it's that the, kind it's of a whodunit with all the regular.
I just thought it was going to be absolutely dumb. It turns out it was based off of a book, as we have talked about many times in recent episodes. Books make the best movies these days in Hollywood, and it was an unbelievably good movie.
Yeah, if you want to read the book, it's Three Bags Full by Leonie Swan. LEONIESWANN.
And you have not read the book.
I have not read the book. No, I didn't even know that it was a book until you mentioned it. So,
well, you should just assume now that if it's a good movie, it was
really
probably a book.
Seriously,
first.
Exactly. And this was actually put out by Amazon, though it was in theaters. So it was an Amazon production released in theaters. Kind of crazy that the bigger theater, like when we were growing up, it was like Fox and or 20th Century Fox and like Searchlight.
But I wouldn't remember any of those.
You don't remember like the little things that came on the...
I remember that.
That whole thing.
Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Like there was big studios and now we've got the... I mean, I guess they are the big studios now, but they're all like the streaming services.
Fun.
Kind of wild that it's sort of changed from generation to generation. But
You have Catholic thoughts on this.
On the Sheep Detective?
Yes.
I don't know. I had one very Catholic thought because there's a great scene where the sheep, one of the usual suspects, as is in Agatha Christie novels, is a priest, right? And so, like, there's a part in the book where the deceased walks in before he was deceased and, like, slams down money on the altar, and he's like, we're square now, and then leaves. And so everybody thinks that might be a motive for the priest.
I thought it was a gambling debt and that the priest was gambling. He was not.
He was not. That was not what was happening. But so the sheep are, they talk amongst each other and you can hear them talking like babe. And they're like, yes, that's God's house. And they're like, who's God? And he says, God is a sheep and also a shepherd. And he dams people. And they're like a beaver? Yes. God is a sheep, shepherd, beaver made out of bread. Which I thought was so funny. Yeah. I laughed so loud in the theater. My daughters were embarrassed, but it was such a cool Eucharistic nod that, like, you know, yes, the Eucharist is not bread. It is our Lord Jesus Christ under the accidents of bread. But it is one of those funny things to like throw out there that like starts a conversation. And I really love anytime something from our Catholic world makes its way into secular stuff, because it's a point to start talking, right? I've been looking at all of these things as things that I can implement for Evangelization Lab, where we're trying to like teach people who have, like, we're in a phase of Christianity right now where my priest came and talked to me and said, like, people don't even know where to start. They know nothing about Christianity. We think that we've grown up in this Christian environment, but they literally come to a priest and they say, I didn't realize Jesus was God. And you're like, oh my goodness, we are so far behind. So like, whenever there's that little opening that like God is a sheep and a shepherd and a beaver and he's made out of bread, like, let me break that down for you. Let me tell you what that means. That is so funny because it comes from all of these different things. And I think it's just such a great opening that we as Catholics should use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. There were a couple things I loved about, well, first, the priest ends up, like, the sin that he commits in order, like, why he gives him money is, like, something that most would probably do.
Yes.
Right? Like, you're helping someone while also trying to help your flock and the church at the same time. Probably shouldn't have done it, but so I was glad that he wasn't like this awful villain.
Right.
And kind of assumed he would be. Like, one of the very first things in the movie, that's what you see. He goes up there and just slams money down in the middle of mass, and you're just like, oh, this this priest is into some really crazy stuff, and he really is not. And that's not a huge spoiler either, I don't think.
I mean, it's pretty, we could probably tell them what happened because it's pretty early in the movie that they establish.
I'll just let him wait.
Okay.
Because you have to watch this movie. I like that that George is a good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he cares about his flock. I like that there is a shepherd out there who does not. And so you have this dichotomy of a good shepherd versus what a bad shepherd looks like. One of my favorite parts of the whole thing was the winter lamb.
Yes.
So, and that's what I think like is really fun for us as Catholics. Like, you have this winter lamb that is outcast. And I don't even, is that a real thing, by the way? Like, a lamb born in winter is not accepted by a flock?
I should have Googled that. So if you're a sheep farmer, please hit me up on Instagram. I'm at Mrs. Ruby. I need to know.
I've also never wanted a pet sheep more than I do now after watching that
movie. But they're so dumb.
Yeah, but they're so cute. So there's this winter lamb that is just an absolute adorable little castaway that George the shepherd loves very much and takes care of, but none of the flock accept it because it's born in winter. And then there is, well, then there's another winter lamb who's now older, and I won't spoil who that is, but that character plays a great role as a sheep with the flock and figuring out what it means to be a winter lamb and what sacrifice looks like. And I just think that whole winter lamb thing, and like as us as Catholics going out and welcoming the lost, welcoming the broken, the outcast, like there's just an awesome message there that everyone belongs, and we need to do our best to reach out to everybody. And not only that, but they could end up being, you know, and the next great evangelist.
Yeah. And in the cases of both winter sheep, more with the older one than with the younger one, George is a good shepherd. That he went out looking for that sheep.
Yep.
They were abandoned and left alone by their flock because apparently that's what sheep do. Who knew? It's like, if you're born in the winter, they're just done with you. But George, being the good shepherd, leaves his flock and goes to get that sheep and brings it back and loves it specifically. And in the case of the older one, like, loves it in the way that it's able to be loved. Like, it needs a little more space, that kind of thing. And that is exactly how Christ loves all of us. And we hear this, you know, we hear the parable of the good shepherd and the leaving the 99 and going to get the lost. But you don't often see it reflected in secular media. So in addition to the God is a sheep and a shepherd and a beaver and he's made out of bread, like, you could jump from that and be like, and not only that, you know how George goes looking for the winter sheep. That's how Christ loved you, just so you know. Just in case you didn't know, guy at the office.
Yeah.
Christ loves you the way George loves that winter lamb.
Yeah. And as parents, you can have great conversations with your kids after watching this movie about, like, the sheep talk about how that when they die, they become clouds.
They intentionally forget things.
And they intentionally forget things. That was one of the funniest parts of the whole movie. Yeah.
We are going to choose to forget this on three.
And then they count to three and they actually do forget it.
Yeah.
And so it'd be great. It's just a great segue to have a conversation with your kids about heaven and the afterlife and loss and what we do as Catholics through all that kind of stuff. What about all the flags? The drugs.
Oh yeah, sorry. I was like, the flags?
Drinking, swearing.
So there is some drinking. George is having a drink with whoever murdered him.
Yeah.
But there's no drunkenness.
Yep.
Involved in there. There's nobody on drugs. There is mild swearing. I think there's a couple of D words.
Yeah, there's a couple language, but not a lot.
Yeah, it's like evening TV type swearing. There is no sex. There's not even a love interest, really.
Well, that's not true. The police officer is madly in love
with the daughter.
With the daughter.
That's right.
But it doesn't. There's nothing.
He has a big crush, but he's not. There's nothing reciprocal happening. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's none of those things. There's no references to, you know, anything weird.
Yeah, I would say the dogs, there's like a couple dogs. There's a scary scene that if your kid is really sensitive, they might be scared of the dogs attacking some of the sheep.
Yeah.
It's very short. It's a little, there's a sad moment, like one really sad moment, but it's a couple of minutes and nothing that any kid shouldn't be able to handle. Yeah. I don't know what age would be interested in this movie, like, because I do think it's one of those middle of the road movies where if you've never watched a movie that has real people in it, mm-hmm. you might not like this one yet or be interested.
This feels like a good bridge movie where
it could be a good bridge.
Sheep are animated enough that it feels, I mean, they're not, they look like regular sheep, but they talk, so it's the whole thing. My 5-year-old was totally into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think she would have been for even younger. She talked about it for weeks afterwards, and she would ask me, like, do sheep really become clouds when they die?
That's awesome. So maybe I will watch with everyone. I was going to say like 7 years old, but yeah. I think it's fine for any age.
We've talked before on the show, but maybe if this is your first episode, I don't want to like drop this opportunity where when there's movies like this that have scenes of loss, sometimes parents can want to like walk away from those or they don't want their kid to experience that. And I just want to plug it out there that like if you have the opportunity to have a movie where someone dies, it has been my experience that it's best for kids to experience that loss for the first time in a fictional sense.
Yeah.
Because it helps them, especially in this one when you have all of these great like, they don't mean them to be biblical, but they're so clearly biblical. The sheep analogy, it's just great. Anyway, where you have all of these great links to our faith life that you can have, like when someone dies, this is what happens. And you can process that when it's theoretical, because if the first time a kid ever experiences loss is when it's their grandfather who they love, it's
yeah.
much harder than if they've had practice in a movie.
Yeah, when I was a youth minister, we used to take teens like once a semester, we would invite them. It was a voluntary thing to go to a funeral of someone they don't know. And just show up and pray. And like, it's sad. No, every funeral's sad, right? Like you're seeing people mourn someone. But like, no one teaches these kids what to do at a funeral. What do you say at a wake? How do you go up to someone and say, I'm praying for you?
Yeah.
What do you say to someone when you're shaking their hand in a line? And so like similar lines, better to have the practice in a fictional way.
I'm seeing Catholic parents really take that on differently than some of our secular brothers and sisters where they're like, these are experiences my kid's not getting anymore. So not like my kid can't order a pizza. My kid doesn't know how to have a job interview. My kid doesn't know how to order at a restaurant. So I see a lot of Catholic parents take that seriously where they're like, I'm going to have my kid learn to shake hands. I'm going to have my kid do that. And so loss is one of those things. Try it out.
100%.
Yeah.
EWTN, please keep praying for us. Know that we are always praying for you so and much. Your families. Highly recommend Sheep Detectives and Swapped. Two Enjoy them with the you. Family.
Yeah, there is just so much content out there for us to navigate as parents.
I'm Jonathan Blevins.
I'm Katie, Mrs. Ruby. Let us help you decide.
Is this for kids?